very apropos for what's going on here. By Yetze, that could be Be'er Shava. Yetze Yaakov Be'er Shava Ve'yelech Harano. The Pasuk says that Yaakov left. Yetze Yaakov left Be'er Shava and he went to Haran. So the first question we're going to ask tonight is, where is everybody that we always ask, but the first question we're going to ask on the parish is, Vayetzi Yaakov is, the Chayra, we know the Medrash, the Chazal, from last week's parasha, and the parasha tells the Gevaldik Yisod, that the Etzem, Yaakov Avinu, did not go directly to Chora. So the pasuk is a little bit misleading over here. The pasuk says, "Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Shava, Vayelech Harana." He left. But if anybody who knows the Medrash, anybody knows the famous Chazal from last week's parasha, knows that Yaakov did not go to Haran right away. Yaakov went to the Beis Medrash. He went to the Beis Medrash, and he went to the Beis Medrash of Shem to Eber to learn. 14 years. Because I'll tell us in this week's parasha taka, also, Rashi says there's a remiss to it again. But this is the first question. Vayelech Harana, he didn't go, when he was with the Yetze, it wasn't Vayelech. He didn't go to Harana. Second question, Chazal tell us that what happened is that Yaakov Avinu ran away for 14 years at this junction in time, and he went to Haran, he went to the Beis Medrash of the Shem Be'eva to learn for 14 years. So there's a couple of questions we have on that Medrash itself, besides the fact that it doesn't fit into the Pesukim. The Medrash is a little bit perplexing. What was Yaakov Avinu doing, going now to learn in Beis Medrash Shem Be'Eiver, according to someone, for 14 years? He was learning his whole life. We learned last week's parasha, Yaakov each tom, Yoshev Ohalim. He sat in tents. Tents of Yaakov. He sat in tents his whole life. He was sitting and learning in tents. He was in the Beis Medrash. All he wanted to do was go out to the Beis Medrash. And here, Yaakov, you know, again, goes to the Beis Medrash again. After learning for 60 years in this Beis Medrash, 63 years, he goes, another 14 years, what's this, another 14 years? And what's more perplexing, let's add to that question. What did he need? What was he doing? Why was he going back to the Beis Medrash? His mother and his father both gave him a tzivu, a command. In last week's parasha, they both commanded him, get out of here! You gotta go out! His mother said, because Esau wants to kill him. His father said, because he has to go find a shidduch. Get out. Get out. They told him to get out of Echaron, get out of Be'er Sheva. And the pasuk says in last week's parasha that by Yishma Yaakov the Aviv Ulaima, he listened to his parents and he went. Chori didn't listen to his parents. He did not listen to his parents. He went now to Beis Shem Be'eber again, or he went back to the Beis Medrash and was not listening to his parents. Next point we want to cover. The pasuk says in this week's parasha that when he came out after 14 years, he goes to sleep, Rabbi Yisrael. The first sleep, you imagine, see, we after 2 hours up, we can't, you know, sleep, getting into bed is unbelievable. Imagine a person, his first time, Vayishkav HaMokom, says Rashi, Vayishkav HaMokom Ahu, Loshim Miut, Ba'oysam Mokom Shochav, Abo Yudal Et Shonim, Shishimesh B'deis Eber, Shochav B'Layla. Rashi says he comes out of the Beis Medrash, and he goes to sleep, for the first time in 14 years. The first time in 14 years he goes to sleep. Why, says Rashi? for those 14 years, he didn't go to sleep. Not one night he didn't sleep. He didn't put his eyes down. Didn't lay down. No sleeping by Yishkav the first time in 14 years. So my question is, Rabbi, Yaakov Avinu, as we learned before, is not the first time he went to Beis Medrash. And yet, we don't find that the Torah said that during the first 63 years of his life, that's the way he learned. You know what I'm saying? Rambam is that. Here, these 14 years, it makes it special. Those 14 years that he was now, especially in the house of Shea Eber, and was learning Torah in Eber, oh, he didn't go to sleep. Mashma, that it was a special deal in these 14 years that he was in Beis Eva not to go to sleep. For the 63 years, he had a good schedule. He'd go to sleep every night. Like a Tiferes Chaim schedule. He'd be in bed at 12, go to sleep, get up. That's what's love his schedule, like Tiferes Chaim. So some guys over here want to learn Pshat that we have to misakin Yaakov Avinu's 14 years of not sleeping. So what we're going to do, 21-year program, but you have 14 years that will sleep. We won't get up for 14 years. Some guys are working on that program. A ticking, because Yaakov didn't sleep, so we're anical Yaakov, so we have to. But doesn't not bring any proportion of this into the sack in that. So tell anybody who's involved in that project, you should maybe abandon it, because it's not bringing the proportion of that project. But the man said 14 years he didn't go to sleep. After now, what's the shot? Next in, Yaakov goes to sleep and he has a dream. He dreams an interesting dream. Now we know everybody had the coloring books from 3rd grade, 4th grade, 5th grade. Everybody was in the coloring books, the famous picture in the coloring books. Everybody's imagining now in Mora Rabinowitz's class. She gave you those black crayons. And everybody knows Yaakov goes to sleep and his whole thing with stones. Rolling stones over there. The stones are rolling all over the place. That was already 8th grade. But in 4th grade was, these stones were, and then 5th grade was different stones. But here, we're talking about in 1st grade, you weren't holding by those types of stones, being stoned, or everything with stones. So here we were holding by just our crayons. Crayola, everybody remembers, coloring the crayon books. Yaakov Avinu's face, make it look black, you were angry, and he took you to the psychologist already, he was calling his face black. But anyway, Yaakov Avinu goes to, with the coloring book, page 6, he's there, and he goes to sleep in the night, and he takes the stones, and he puts it by his head, and there's a lot of stones, they're fighting the stones, and they all become one stone. So, what do we get from this whole thing about all these stones? So, at the end of the day, what was going on over there? So we know from Chazal there was a big fight. The stones were fighting with each other. Each one was saying, on my head, the stone should last. And this should say, on my head, should stand. And they all fought, and they all, you know what, Yisrael, let's have some achdus over here. We all become one stone. So first of all, let's understand what's going on over here. Why Dafka now, after we went to sleep, that was the whole process. Why the stones fought, and why now the stones became one? Why was this this sequence of time? Why was this important? What was the remez over here? What was the point? So we want to say like this, Rabbi. We want to say a big yisoid. Perhaps the yisoid is based on the Beis Halevi, other mefarshim say it. But that's of Yaakov Avinu, Rabbi. Yaakov Avinu had a tafkid, and Esav had a tafkid. We spoke about the last week a little bit, but we didn't go into this parish. We talked about Inyan of tafkidim. But Yaakov and Esav had a different tafkid in life, and that's why the etzem was we asked last week. Why did Yitzchak want to give Esav the brachas? Esav a rush to give the brachas. And the Teretz Israel by saying everybody's born with a certain type of inclination, a certain type of tshuka, a certain type of rotzon to do, accomplish in his life. Yaakov Avinu was an ish tam yeshiv ha'olam. He had a character nature to sit in the tents of Torah, and that was his tafkid. Esav HaRasha, his tafkid was taka to go out. Now going out, Rebbe said that I should go out, become a plumber. Pass me the plunger, please. What does it mean that, you know, like everybody says, well, there's a shaved zvulin, you go back to America, and everybody will come over. That everybody has to learn? Rabbi, you're a little bit too serious over there. Torah says, there was a shaved zvulin, the Rambam was a doctor. Famous line, everybody knows, the Rambam was a doctor. Okay, you'll be a doctor like the Rambam. The Rambam says, calling me the Rambam, saying the Rambam was a doctor, and they'll come back right away. And Rashi was a winemaker. And Rabbi Yochanan has sandler. He was called in the Gemara. Everybody will come out. He made sandals. Yitzchak. Every rabbi, you're telling me everybody should learn? Look at all these great people who had businesses. The Rambam was a doctor. Rashi was a winemaker. I read the book on Rashi. I read it. By Yaakov Shulman. I read all the stories. You're telling me everybody has to sit and learn, Rabbi? You have it all wrong. This is a modern day concept. I want to bring you to Rashi and the Rambam. So you say to the man, very fine. We will institute the Rambam Shita of a working Balabas. According to the Rambam, sir, we're going to give you the Rambam. The Rambam says that a Baal HaBos is supposed to learn 9 hours a day, Rabbi said. Big problem for us, that's what we know. But 9 hours a day, the Rabbi says. He's supposed to work 3-4 hours a day, making whatever he needs to support himself. It doesn't mean 7 cars. 3's enough for him, his wife, and the dog. But at the end of the day, you have to make enough money to support yourself. So Rambam says, work a few hours a day and learn 9 hours a day, the Rambam says. That's the learning of a Baal HaBos. I think I'd rather be a learning guy now than learn less hours. To be a Baal HaBos and learn 9 hours, most guys don't learn 9 hours a day for himself. That's the Rambam holds of Baal HaBos. Rashi was a winemaker, you know, he learned all day. Maybe he had a couple of hours, he said, something business. So even though Ace was made to go out in the world, to make money, to make a parnosa, to be a zvul. But the service of Dover, that zvul is a ben Torah, because he's learning Torah. But chutz from that, Rabbi said, that was supposed to be the tafkid of Ace, and that's why Ace had this nature of a yatsan, is to go out. To go out, like the fields, to capture, to do. His tafkid, and Yitzchavina knew this. And his task in the world was to go out and be the supporter, the Torah supporter. Don't worry, Rebbe. When I get older, I'm going to buy you a yeshiva. Still waiting. But anyway, I want to be a Torah, a TS, a Torah supporter. I want to be a Torah supporter. And therefore, Esav, Tafkid in this world was going to be to help his brother. Yaakov Avinu was going to be sitting in the Eliyahu HaTorah. He was going to make a Lakewood, a Ponovich, a Chevron, Tiferes Chaim. And his brother Esav was going to support. To be out there in the world. That was the Tafkid. So said the Mefarshim boy said. And Yitzchak knew that. That's why he wanted to give him the brothers. What were all the brothers? The brothers were for Gashmias, for wealth. You should have a tremendous abundance of wealth. You should have whatever you need. Why? You're going to be a wealthy man, Esav. And for those bros, you're going to be able to support you, and he'll be able to give over the ruchnius. You'll be able to give over the gashmius, and we'll live happy ever after. Came along Yaakov Avinu, and he put Esav to a test with the lentils. Is Esav really interested in ruchnius at all? Because this will only work if the Zvula, if the one who's the Torah supporter, is really interested in Ruchnius. So even though he's going to be out there in the fields, even though he's out there in the working field, but he's going to, first of all, spend his time, his balanced time, in the Beis Medrash. will help out. He will ensure the existence of the Ruchnius. He has to have the same goals as Yaakov, just in a different way. But if he's not going to have any feeling for Ruchnius, if he's not going to care what I owed her, what's going to happen to the existence of Klal Yisrael will be destroyed. We won't have that financial support. We won't have the existence of those Batei Medrashos and Batei Knesios. And Yaakov, you know, was testing him. Is he interested in all Ruchnius? And he said, no. I'd rather a bowl of lentils for my whole Bechaira to the Avoida for Ruchnius. And when Yaakov saw that, he bought from him not only the brachas, not only the Bechaira. Yaakov, you know, now bought that Mahalach HaChayim. That Yaakov had to be now a dual personality. He had to be not only Yaakov, you know, the Yoshev HaOlim, but he's now going to have to be also. He's going to have to be also the Esav, who's supposed to be the Zvul. And it comes out murder, the Kabbalah said. That's why Yaakov had to have two wives, Leah and Rachel. But everybody knows Leah was predestined for Esav. He was a Rasha. And because Leah had the characteristic traits, she was also a Yetzonis. She went out towards Yaakov. We know the story with the Dudaim. She went out towards, she was a Yetzonis. She went out. She had the daughter of Dina. She was also had that characteristic traits like Esav. And she was predestined, but she cried. And so we shall go. She heard Esav was a Rasha. And it wasn't going to be torn to you. Leah was in Tzadekes, one of the Imohuts. And she had that characteristic trait to help a Zvulin, to help a businessman, a Torah-ridic businessman, to go out and be successful. But she had to be now married also to Yaakov. Because at the end of the day, Yaakov now bought that whole land. Therefore, Yaakov had to get the brachas for wealth now. Yaakov had to be a dual personality. And he had to marry two wives now. And he had to produce the servicial dover of Yisachar and Zvulun. That was supposed to be Niskayim. And Yaakov and Esav was now Niskayim in him himself by producing a Zvulun and a Yisachar. That whole arrangement of the Yisachar Zvulun that we all know today was supposed to be the arrangement of an Esav. Instead of saying, oh, we have a Yisachar Zvulun, it's not a Yisachar Zvulun, it's supposed to be an Esav-Yaakov relationship. Esav supporting Yaakov. But Yaakov saw that it would never come to be. Esav would take the wealth and use it as a means in it and as an end in itself, not a means to help out Ruchnius. Yaakov takes that away and he has a dual tafkid now to be the Yaakov Yishoytam Oyeshev Aholim and also be the one that's going to be the supporter of Torah. And from him comes both himself and Zvulun. Yaakov was learning for 63 years. He was learning Beis Medrash, he was Shtaigin. But Yaakov realizes after he gets the brachas that now he has to go out into the world. That was the message of being sent out to Chora now. He has to go out in the world and he has to deal with the, pardon the expression, the garbage of the world. To be surrounded by people who are cheaters and liars and who knows what out there in the world. This is surrounded by who knows what. This is surrounded by the whole mitzvahs of promiscuity, of billboards. You're in the Beis Medrash, the Chol HaParsha, you don't have to pass by these. You go straight to the house of Beis Medrash. Now he has to go in with his suit, his $500 suit, he has to go into business. He has to pass every day on his way to the business. A nice, nice billboard. And on the billboard, the boy said, it's Adam HaRishon, Kodem HaChet. Maybe not Adam HaRishon, someone else. Kodem HaChet. And then there he passes on his way up to the office. There's another office. And there waiting, it happens to be the ladies' auxiliary commission for peanut butter. And they're there every morning, and they're eating Skippy peanut butter. And he has to pass by their office on his way up to the 11th floor. And they always wave at Mr. Bernstein. Because they like me seeing him in Starbucks for lunchtime. They always meet him in Starbucks, and he offers to buy them a coffee. and so on and so forth. Let's just hope it ends with the coffee. Cafe al Hashem, and opens it with the coffee. But anyway, Mr. Bernstein has been learning yeshiva. He never experienced this thing. He was always in yeshiva till now. And he didn't experience three women working for Skippy Peanut Butter. And it's good for him to skip over this whole thing. But anyway, getting back to Mr. Bernstein, he was a yeshiva man. And now Yaakov Avinu, who's a yeshiva, has to go out in the world. He has to deal with a loved one. He has to deal with getting married. He has to deal with the whole process in Chutz La'aretz. It's Kamila, in all the car. And all Chutz La'aretz, all the whole process by living based alone, always about his money. All they're talking about is money. And every talk about it is her money. Whose money is it? And everything's about money and making money and jealousy and how many cars, how many houses, how many chandeliers, how many this, how many suits, Jim, how many types of shoes are in your closet? Six pairs of shoes. That's it. What do you mean? You don't have shoes when you go to the bathroom? Special shoes you wear? Special slippers? You don't have those $400 Lacoste slippers? With the little alligator inside the slipper, so you can see it while you're sitting down. Because the outside you might not, you don't have the paper. This way here you can see it when you're sitting down on the toilet. You can see the Lacoste label, and you don't have those special penny loafers. You don't have those type of shoes. You wear on Monday, you wear a shoe on Tuesday, and you don't have this. You don't have that. All the talk about is how much money, how much money, how much money. Everything is revolved around money and making money, how to make more money, how to make less money. That's what he's going into the world now, Yaakov. He never talked about it. All he's talking was the Rashba, Rabbi, Rava. That's all he talked about. Now he's going out into the world. So Yaakov even realizes that the parents are sending him out into the world now. Into the world of business. Into the world of crime. Into the world of who knows what. Yaakov said to himself, am I prepared? Am I ready? Am I ready to deal with that world? Did I do enough time? But more so, because I want to say a chiddush. Yaakov realized that if I'm going to give into my body, if I'm going to give into my bodily needs, if they're going to be controlled for me, of me, I'm going to have a very difficult time, because that world out there is luring the body, physical, more physical, as much physicality as possible. It's luring and luring and luring and luring us in and swallowing us in to the end of physicality. So Yaakov says like this, I'm going to prepare for this situation. How am I going to prepare? How am I going to prepare for this? I'm going to go to the Beis Medrash now and not give in at all to my physical. Yaakov Avinu does not go. The most physical thing, the most easy physical thing to Rabbi Yisrael, or Raya, is to go to sleep. Sleep is the most easiest thing. Even in eating food, sleep is something that the body takes over and you give it to the body. Yaakov Avinu controlled himself, whatever it is, and he did not let his body govern that he should go to sleep. It's Meshav and Tzias for Baisa. Many people don't think so, but you can control your body not to go to sleep. You know, the Doyen that sleep 2 hours, 4 hours, 2 hours a night. Doyen, Yoyim, Chassidus, Shirebis, whatever, 2 hours a night. How's that Shaya? It's hard for us to stay up 2 hours a day. Day 2 hours a night, that's all they sleep. Come on, Rabbi. Yeah, they control themselves. They work on their body so much, they don't need it anymore. The body's not, why? They're in control, totally. Is Yaakov, I want to tie in it now, because he's going to Golis, and he's going to be lured. He wants to be in total, total control, that the body has no governing factors. Not to say before Yaakov, but here he went to the extreme level of himself, because he knew he was going to go into a place where he could be lured. The physicality of the body, or the body should control his actions. And that's why Yaakov, in these 14 years, did not go to sleep. And that's why he went to another big Spanish, because this was the preparation for Golis. Yaakov Kavaleski says, in another Shmuz, that's why he went to Shem, the Daphne based Aver, because Aver was Taka lived in the door of the Mabul, in the door of Floga, and they, Taka, were ones who had to deal with the outside world. And he went to learn what he called Torah's Golas. You saw that for me, is a boyside. Yaakov, you don't realize that I'm not ready yet. 63 years, not enough time to repair a boyside. The new program, 77-year program, boyside. After the Shmuz sign up outside, don't worry. Right away after that, the old age home will be built next door. It'll be like 96. It's okay, we'll arrange a special plan. Some guys are ready for planning for the old age, they're preparing, ready for the old age home over here. They do the same schedule, so they won't have a problem. But the 77 years, extra 14 years to answer our original consciousness. His father's mother, he said, you have to go to Chorin, you have to go to Golus. So what does it mean? He listened to them. The answer is, Yaakov, you know, hell, this is what they want. They want me to go with the Golus. They want me to be ready for Golus. My parents are not telling me to go without being ready. So I'm going to go on the way to the base medrash of Shem to Ava, of Ava to repair in the right way. So when Yaakov, it says in this parasha that he went to Choron, he did go to Choron. This was the preparation, this was the path to go to Choron. To go to Choron, to go to that place where they've always done with a Zara, where they're cheaters and liars, where they're mixed up in their dais, where they're hashkafot, they're negra toira. You go out in the world, and place like, you don't realize if you're not strong like a lion, they're going to get eaten up. Chutz from the taivis of that around you. You're dealing with a guy next to you, some atheist. And he's going to talk to you every morning. He's not wearing no kippah. You're next to an ex-cubicle. How you doing, Sam? And the next thing you know, Sam's passing you some ham. Sam's ham. And what's that? No problem to eat it. I don't believe in that stuff. In Judaism. And I am. My father went to synagogue. The atheist synagogue, they called it. My father used to go there. I don't believe in that stuff. And slowly Sam's talking to you every day. And by a few minutes, Sam's passing you his hand. And he says, Mefurish HaPasik HaChumash. Three sons of Noach. Sam, Ham, and Yefes. I have a furisha rise to my Yisrael. Shame, Chav, the Yefes. You got to eat ham. I'm Sam, and this is Ham. And you look nice, and you're Yefes. Not as nice as the lady that works over there. Not me. I learned from Yeshiva. I can't do this stuff. But Sam works in you every day. He has his arguments. And who knows where you want to go, Sam? Rebbe! Sorry. It's funny, Yiddishkeit's getting hard for me. Of course it's getting hard for you. Sam's in the next cubicle. And he's talking atheism all day in your ears. And then he takes you out for a night. Friendly business meeting. In some clubhouse. And it happens to be that clubhouse has a little bit too much problems for male men. It's no problem. We don't believe in this stuff anyway, so we can go to wherever we want. Your boys are making jokes about it. I deal with how many people that are so much, they're messed up. Their mom is having a problem with their lives. The regular yeshiva guys, why? Because I can't control myself, Rabbi. So hard, chutzlarts, in the business world, and in this world, and in that world, I'm dealing with crooks, I'm dealing with this, I'm dealing with who knows what, snus, all garbage around me. A person's nimshach achasi voices the Rambam. Are we prepared, Rabbi Yisrael, for Golus? Are we prepared to go out of the way? I don't want to learn yeshiva that long. I'll do a half a year. Maybe I'll give another half a year. Then I'm going to go out. I'm going to make Pergosa. And I'm going to support. Are you ready to go out to support? Everybody said. Are you ready to deal with the world? Are you ready to deal with the Nisyonis that has out there? Everybody said. Avraham Avinu, everybody say, after the Akedah, it says in the Pesukim, Avram returns from the Akeda with Eliezer. Where is Yitzhak Avinu? Where is Yitzhak Avinu? He asked the Medrash. Says the Medrash, you know where Yitzhak was? After the Akeda's Yitzhak. Yitzhak said, tie me up good. Put the knife. He did the Akeda. Yitzhak Avinu was 37 and he did the Akeda. After the Akeda, that's it. He's ready to challenge the world. Says the Medrash, Avram sent him to yeshiva. Yeshiva now? What do you need yeshiva for? Yeah. Avram said to the Medrash, where did I get my koyach to withstand the Akedah from Torah? This is what my son needs now to be able to be successful. Where does a person get the strength to fight the Nisroinus out there? From Lima La Torah, from yeshiva, from working on himself. From becoming a person that doesn't give in to his Ritzoinus, Rabbi Yisrael. That's what Torah teaches us. Don't give in. Torah is called, Shavuot is called Atzeres. We can say no. Atzeres means Atzor. Say no. Torah teaches us self-control. Torah teaches us to be in control of ourselves. Rabbi Yisrael, it's a mistake that we think that, I'm not going to Kollel. I'm going to survive on a small Kollel check. Maybe 6 months honeymoon in Israel every weekend in Eilat. My wife also wants to have a lot of fun. A few weekends. We'll have a good time. Tell the parents, sure, I'm signed up to Paris. I'm cold out. Every weekend, 3 weeks at a time, take a break. Maybe it's a little bit difficult. Working hard, too hard. Be'er Sheva, here, go up north, go south, west, east. He's all over the world. Go to Greece for a few days, Jordan, everything, we gotta see the world. My wife was in seminary, she wasn't in yeshiva, she couldn't go to Egypt. She has to see the, what's it called, the Sphinx. What do you mean? I went every other weekend, and I told the yeshiva I'm going to, Nabrak. I made a wrong turn. I went left instead of right. Ended up in the Sphinx. I can even teach my wife how to read hieroglyphics. I'm an expert. 2 weeks in Egypt. We'll go to Egypt. Go on a thing. 6 months. Have a good time. Yeah! Dad! Koilo's amazing! Oh, you're the best shmiggies. Koilo's doing great. What are those camels in the back? Oh, you have some bochum that, sounds like a camel. Not a camel. I'm still smoking those camel cigarettes under the camels. Are those Arabs we ended up? No, don't worry, Shmigga. Don't worry. There's Arab workers in yeshiva, they're trying to get rid of them. In Egypt, that's his Ica Kodal life. No Kodal for me. I'm going out into the world. I'm going to make Parnassah. I'm going to support Torah. I'm ready. Superman! I'm ready to challenge the world. I have my yeshiva shatai, don't worry, to protect me. And I'm wearing a coming to work with a Borsellino hat. Don't worry, Rebbe. 2 years later, no hat. Thumbtack, please! Doesn't stick on. 2x1. Call me Sam or Sack for short. Don't call me, Rebbe, don't say that name over here. Next time you come, take off that long coat. Come with some Bermuda shorts, Rebbe. The office, we don't wear that stuff over here. And make sure when they come in, call me Sack. None of that Yisachar stuff. What happened to Yisachar? You weren't so good. I tell you, just look what's around me. Just look at the dress code over here in this office of this. Look what's going on, Rebbe. How am I supposed to handle it? It's mamish. Who knows what's going on in that office? No Kollel for me. I'll be able to go out in the world. The place that years Yaakovino taught us the best preparation to go out in the world. Best people to handle the mission is the best way. And that's why he taught Yosef all his Torah. Next week's parish by Yosef, he taught all his Torah to Yosef, because he realized Yosef was going to be the one to go to base Potiphar to withstand the Soyer. What's going to give us the courage, or what's going to give us the strength, the koyach? Hashem oiz la'mo yiten ein oiz ala Torah. The person has to throw himself into the base Nehra by saying, these years, I'm not, yes, to be able to handle the Yitzhara, to be able to handle the outside world, be connected to Torah, but like, you want to have a life. You want to have a enthusiasm for Yiddishkeit. You want to have a gewaltig house, a Yiddish shtub, Rabbi Yisai. The only way is you connect to the Torah, and where you get that? These years, the preparation, the yeshiva, you throw yourself, you get a time, get a geschmack in learning, you get a feeling for Torah, get connected to Torah, and then you never leave it, Rabbi Yisai. Your whole life, you have a Seder, you're connected to it, you connect to a Rebbe. This is the limud of this week's parasha. He went to Choron, he went to Chutzlars. How'd he go? 14 years stopover. 14 years of Bersai. I joke about a 21-year program for Bersai. That's, you know, inflation. Used to be 14 years. That's how you prepare for Chutzlars. That's not a joke of us. That's very serious. Because the Syrians out there are unbelievable of Bersai. We can't imagine it, we can't mock it. The nisyonis that people are going to have if they go out to work, the nisyonis are going to be unbelievable, Rabbi Yisrael. And they're not getting any easier. What's going to be our stronghold? What's going to be our koyach to fight, to withstand, to stay straight, to stay erluch, to be a real, real person, Rabbi Yisrael? What's going to give us the koyach not to get swallowed up? Limud HaTorah, connection to Torah, connection to Rabbanim, connection to Yiddishkeit, connecting and learning Torah every day, Rabbi Yisrael. This is so important, the Shmuz is so important, Rabbi Yisrael. Everybody has to take on themselves to get a tam, to get a geshmak, Rabbi Yisrael. If not, you're not getting a tam in the Yiddishkeit, in the Torah, forget it, Rabbi Yisrael. It's a lost cause. You see what's going on out there. See people go back, swallowed up. They look different, they dress different, the whole halach, yeah, what are they involved in, what are they talking about, what's their language, Rabbi Yisrael. You don't even have to talk about this, Rabbi Yisrael. You go into, you work with people that, you know, who knows what, every second word, and there's a new language coming out. A new language coming out. You know, it's not like you just be, you know, every few words. Every word, every second word. You know, just I was mamash at a place, I was overheard. Mamish, one of these workers over there, Mamish, I couldn't believe it, Rabbi Yisrael. Mamish, a toilet bowl. Mamish, every word, not just used to be, here and there was a word. It's every word. It didn't even make sense what he was saying. Just every word was another curse, another word, swearing. Every word. It was like talking slang. If you don't know what he's saying, you know, what is he saying to this other guy? The other guy asked him back the same way, with another few curses in there. It's mamish, and you're sitting there whistling, you know, with your Nesil Shisharan in your hand, trying to learn every third word the guy's mamish cursing and yelling and this and that. And you're around all day, but you don't think it wears off. You come out all day, you start talking like an animal from the jungle. You start looking like a jungle boy. You have to yield your voice, you have to anchor yourself with Torah, the Yiddish guy. Very, very, very strong these years of us. And now, I'm prepared then, all of a sudden. Oh, yeah, Rebbe. I call him. I have to make some type of Seder. You got to prepare now of us. You have the Acer, you have the insurance of glory, you have the insurance in your house, the internet. The internet of us. That guy's in the camera. Should I have this? Shouldn't I have the internet? And if he does have the internet, he has to have for his business. What's he going to be doing there of us? And the insurance. This pops up, that pops up. And before you know it, but you're dealing with cases and cases, guys, happily married fellows, they're not married anymore, but they're not happy either. And who knows where, with some Puerto Rican woman somewhere in Mexico City. He's sweeping the streets of Mexico. Whistling while he works. Running away. Everybody knows the stories all over abundance. What does it come from? Swallowed up by the Gashmis of all of us. Destroyed, shmetted, smamish, destroyed. These years we gotta work strong, hold mamish strong to get that top, to get learning into our lives, to make it part of our life, have an enjoyment. Everybody knows that chiluk of Boisai. There's coming to learn, there's sitting there in the Seder, there's a little bit of coming, and then there's that madrego where you get connected to Torah of Boisai. That's what you gotta do now, of Boisai. You gotta cry to the Rebbeinu Shalom. This is the life statement, this is the anchor, this is the SOS. You're going to cry to the Yavish to help me. Baharim no Hashem alaykeinu is divrei, make it sweet. Hashem, I should love it, I should enjoy it. It's sweet itself. We have so many things distracted, we can't taste the sweetness. Let me get that keshem with Torah. Let me get that kishmak. If I have that kishmak, nothing will stand in the way. If I don't get connected, I don't get the kishmak, don't get connected, but and that's what you have so important this year, was like, give up all the nourishment, the garbage that we have around and around, that the Rashida knows about, he doesn't know it. Sock it to him, Rabbi said, with that sock. Get that sock, empty out all the socks, Rabbi said. Empty out all the things in the ceiling, wherever they are, get rid of them. Now's the time to get the Gishmak. You're not going to get the Gishmak if you have other things out there. It's not going to let you get the Gishmak. If you don't get the Gishmak, you're not going to be attached to it. If you're not attached to it, you don't have your boxing gloves, the boy said, to deal with that Yetzirah. He's so powerful. He's so overwhelming, especially in Chutz La'aretz. And for you to cry to the Amish to help me, help me, help me to get a job in a good office, help me to get a good, be a good around good people, whoever to live in a good neighborhood, people that are inspiring, that want to have a cashier, that want to have they want to have a Shabbos, Rabbi Zad. They want to have a spiritual environment, Rabbi Zad. They want to have a Rav. Want to be around somebody, Rabbi Zad. They want to connect. You got to cry to the Rebbeinu Shel for that, Rabbi Zad. People are going to neighborhoods. Think about people. All it is, Rabbi Zad, is getting together Friday night. The couples get together. The whole block gets together. And before you know it, no two couples are speaking with each other, Rabbi Zad. And the men are not doing it. Not so interesting. Before you know it, what's going on, Rabbi Yisrael? In the world, Rabbi Yisrael, we know stories. It's craziness. It's craziness. And some people think, this guy, it's not Shaykh. I remember in Yeshiva, such a nice guy. He got swallowed up. He went straight to the Beis Medrash 14 years. Full-time learning. That's the preparation. Not medical school, not graduate school. That's not going to prepare you for life. What's going to prepare you for life, Yaakov Avinu taught us, is 14 years in the Beis Medrash, only getting Gishmak from learning. And anchored in with the learning, now you're ready, Yaakov Avinu, ready to go out in the world and make Yisachar's food. Ingrain, Yaakov Avinu, Yosef HaTzadik, by his father, 17 years, teaching over this Torah, Rabbi Yisrael. Giving him over the Mahalach. But to go out in the world, you got to prepare and be anchored in Torah. A bracha to everybody. And my hope and my wish is, Rabbi Yisrael, to hear the Shmuz very well, Rabbi Yisrael. Because people have a big mistake. They think if you're going into Rabbanus, I'm going to be a Rosh Hashiva, I'm going to be a Magid Shir, I'm going to be a Menahel, I'm going to be something in the Torah field, then I got to apply myself now, 100%. I'm going to be a Magid Shiur. I have to apply myself. I have to become a good Magid Shiur. I have to learn Torah with all my might now. Today we learned the difference. You know what's appeared even more than the guy who's going to be the Magid Shiur or the Rosh Hashiva? The one who's going to go out into the world. He has to be even more anchored in time. Because if not, Chas V'Shalom, Yaakov Avinu understood. Not Chas V'Shalom, there would never be Yaakov Avinu. There would never be Yubei Shvatim. There would never be anything like that. And Hashem taught, and Hashem showed him in the dream. And your wish, Yaakov Avinu, what you did was 100% right. because the world is, you became that tzaddik, who the world is now going to service you, and you're not going to serve the world. You're going to have to be mushed by the world. The world's going to come serve you. The stones got together to serve the tzaddik. The world will service you. You won't service the world. You won't be nimshach after the world. The world will be nimshach after you. The world will follow you. The world will want to do your rats. May it be the will of the Yibarei Shalom that we work on ourselves, that we come anchored in Torah, that the Eiz Hashem is far, we prepare ourselves for that journey, whatever we're going to do, to be somebody who makes it through this world without falling, without chas v'shalom losing it, remaining faithful and neman takodesh baruch through all the nesiones, in the house of love one, wherever we're going to be, being true and neman takodesh baruch hu. We zilcha to build a bias, neman being so. We give that bracha to every couple, Rabbi Yisrael, every speech and every couple, bias neman being so. What does neman mean, Rabbi Yisrael? Truthful and faithful to Hashem, Rabbi Yisrael. The house remains truthful and faithful to Hashem. A house that Hashem wants to visit very often. It should be our homes. It should be an inspiration to everybody, to all around us. To be a bias, build bias, neman with Yisrael. A source of nachas to the whole world. And everything we do will be the shame shamayim. And Hashem will bring Mashiach Sikenu.